This is Pastor Talk, a weekly podcast designed to help Christians navigate a variety of issues. Thanks for joining us as we promote Christian thinking and the glory of God. All right, well, welcome back here to a new recording of Pastor Talk. Glad to be back with you after a Thanksgiving break last week.
That is correct. I'm hoping everyone had a good Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Not everyone does.
Unfortunately, yeah.
I'm hoping everyone that listens had a good time with their family.
Or friends.
Or friends.
With someone.
Or someone.
Or a day of rest.
Or a day of rest.
Either way, we hope for you. Last week was good. It was good for us. It's been 2 weeks since we last recorded, so I think we were eager to get back at it.
Yes.
We are a day late because we had some minor construction remodeling efforts here at our building.
Correct. But now we have clean, clear windows to look through.
Which is wonderful.
And appreciate God's kingdom. In fact, last night, as I was getting ready to go into the sanctuary, we had a beautiful sunset. And I looked out our brand new clear window and I went, oh my goodness. Yeah. We've been missing this for a long time.
That's right. So anyways, all of that to say, we're glad to be back and especially glad today because we have another listener-submitted question. We've had several. I haven't read them all or seen them all, but I've been told we have several, and I have seen a few, and they're pretty good.
Okay. What's the one for today?
Today's question deals with intergenerational relationships. What is the role and importance of intergenerational relationships?
You know, you and I should be able to handle this one pretty good.
What is the age difference between us?
Well, 43 years.
43 years. So, actually, I'm the same age as your grandson.
Yes, you are.
Strange.
Yes, it is.
How did our friendship come about?
The Lord brought us together at school. At a play that
you
we
got
were
held
both
back
attending.
That long?
Yes, we were both attending a play, and during the intermission, we started talking, and you remembered me, and back the next Sunday, you came to our church, and the Sunday after that, you preached in it.
Yeah, that was wild.
Easter Sunday.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories. There's a lot of details there.
Yeah,
of how that all happened, but
it's cool the way God brought us together, and. And yeah. We've kind of been together on and off since then.
I think he really and quickly knitted our hearts together.
Yeah, I think so.
Through various things. So, anyways, yeah, maybe we get to speak a little bit from personal experience today.
Yeah.
What is an intergenerational relationship?
Oh, well, for me, an intergenerational relationship is where you listen to each other, take what advice each other gives each other. If that's worded wrongly, I apologize. But listen to each other and take it serious. Mm. And don't just dismiss it because, oh, that's from an old guy or that's from a young guy.
Yeah.
You listen to it and maybe you can apply it.
Yeah, so we're talking about friendships, relationships that span generations.
Sure.
Different upbringings, different stages of life, those sorts of things. The church is designed for those relationships to happen.
Yes, the Bible speaks of it several times about teaching each other and training and all that.
Yeah, and so God has designed it that way and delights in those relationships and encourages us to pursue them and guard them and enjoy them.
Sure.
How can a person begin going about establishing a relationship like this? Let's say, from your perspective, much older in the church, would you go about reaching out to someone significantly younger than you?
Well, I think all of us need to have a spirit of loving each other because we are family. When we're in a church body,
right,
we're a family. And I think all of us need to realize that and pursue relationships with each other
Right. That was my point from Ephesians 2.
Okay.
The gospel unites us in a way that these relationships can happen.
Isn't that funny? I just kind of popped in my head. Anyway.
Miraculous.
Miraculous. You know, as you get older, the thought I had when you asked that question was, as you age, many of your family members that are your age pass on. They take that step into eternity.
Yeah.
And here you are without, I used to have about 20 family members my age. Now I have 5.
Yeah.
So I need to reach out and grab some more family members.
Yeah.
I don't think you should do it because you have to. But I think just developing relationships with people and loving your family and if you can be involved with each other than in the church in the church house itself.
Right.
Like, you know, invite them for lunch or hopefully you're the kind of person they could come to if they have problems.
Yeah.
And possibly you could help them funnel through them or weed through those problems.
Right. I think as a younger person, and this is the way the scriptures probably talk about the relationship the most, there's wisdom and experience to glean in an older individual.
Right.
So pursue those relationships in the form of seeking wisdom and counsel. Sure. And guidance and asking questions. And
but there's also an element of energy that seems to be more so with a young person.
Yeah.
That we should also be gleaning as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes old people get kind of comfortable with the way things are going, and I don't want to change too much.
Oh, I need to choose my words carefully.
Choose them carefully. because we know it happens in every church. It really does.
Yes.
We have people who have been there. Maybe they were there as a child, and they've been there now for 30 years, and they like things the way they are.
Okay, I'm going to liken this to a bloodhound dog.
You have been considering your words carefully.
So when you first have a bloodhound and they're young, energetic, excited, and you go out on a walk, they're kind of walking you. They're dragging you along. They need to be disciplined. But if you'd let them, they'd just run and they'd sniff everything and they'd play and they'd frolic and be out of control and almost in a dangerous position. But by the time the bloodhound gets older, you don't necessarily walk them so much as you drag them.
Hmm.
Because now they're a little bit more wrinkly and a little bit more tired and less interested, and they're not as energetic or willing to go, you know.
Okay, I was thinking more of you as walking this same dog around this same path, and you decide to change, and if they're old and setting their ways, they're not going to want, no, we're not going to go down that path. This is the path we go down. We've been going down this path every day for five doggy years, you know.
Well, and in a young pup, you could lead down any path, and they wouldn't know the difference between danger and happiness.
Oh, and they won't even stay on the path, my goodness.
So, imperfect analogy or illustration, but that's kind of how I see it. There's the danger of both, of just running wild and free as a young person, and I have no bounds, I'm invincible, no restraints. You usually land in the ditch and hurt yourself.
Right.
On the other side of that coin, there is the real danger, as you've said, for older
individuals. An old dog.
Yeah. To not have as much energy or passion or zeal or excitement.
Or not even want to look down another path.
Yeah. And
it may be the one God wants you to look down or at least go down.
Right. So in that imperfect analogy
or
illustration, you can see the need for both.
Yeah, I do. I think we should all have that kind of desire to, you know, cling to the good teachings that we've learned, and some of the traditions we've learned are good.
Yeah.
Some of the traditions we've learned can throttle us and not let us pursue new avenues that God may be leading us down so that His kingdom can grow.
Right. So I'm thinking of two passages. I'm thinking of Titus 2, where the older individuals of the church are supposed to invest in the younger ones.
Right.
Older ladies encourage and teach younger ladies. Older men, encourage and teach younger men. In other words, invest your life into them. And implied in that passage is younger individuals, be willing to let others speak into your life.
Yes.
But then there's also the one I'm thinking about in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you for your youth. Realize you do have a voice as a young person. And
sure.
as an older individual, realize that young people contribute to the life of the church.
Well, and also, truthfully, age is not necessarily an indication of godliness.
Or maturity.
Or spiritual maturity.
Correct.
I've known a lot of very sweet saints that were like much older than me when I was younger.
Yeah.
And they had some ideas that really weren't biblical.
Yeah.
But it wasn't doing any harm, so I just didn't confront them on it.
Right. And sometimes there are young people who are very sound in the faith and doctrine
yeah.
and walking with God. They still make their own mistakes. But
sure.
I guess what we're saying is to understand intergenerational relationships, you need to understand that both parties have something incredibly valuable to commit to the life of the
That's
church
right.
and to each other.
And both parties have ideas that aren't exactly right.
Yeah.
If I was an older gentleman, I am, and I use the word gentleman, but
loosely,
if I thought all my ideas were perfect, then you couldn't teach me anything.
Oh, don't get me started.
No,
I'm
serious.
You're just throwing softballs at me here.
That's a good one, huh?
Yeah, I'm about to tee off.
Well, go ahead, man.
I'm kind of
anxious, but it's true that a lot of people are so dogmatic, is that the right word? Stuck in their ways?
Yeah, yeah.
That they cannot view changing anything in the service. We have to use this type Bible. We have to use the hymnal. We have to have an organ. We have to have a piano. And all these are traditions.
Well, and let me speak from a young man's perspective. Often we're too prideful to listen. No, I've got an idea, and it's going to work, and it's going to be great. It's going to be the best idea since the Bible, and we need to do it. We need to do it blindly, and sometimes we're guilty of not heeding the input of our older brothers and sisters.
So I guess what we're saying is that we both need to be listeners as well as doers.
Yes, I think that's good. So automatically, and we have if anything, we've only exposed the complexity of these kind of relationships. We haven't even really kind of gotten into a whole lot of issues. But I think by now you can see these two people need to exist in a singular relationship together
right.
for the good of each other.
And for the good of the kingdom.
Right.
We have to realize it's not about you or not about me or
right.
a young man or an old man. It's about God and it's about his kingdom. What's the bottom line is we need to share the gospel and get it out to the people.
Yeah. And the tension that can take place in a relationship is good. Iron sharpening iron is not
a
light, easy process. There's tension. There's heat.
There's
friction.
If there was never any of that, then there would be no sharpening.
Right. And so these relationships are meant to have a little bit of tension in them to cause that sharpening friction between the two individuals. I would also say this, intergenerational relationships don't have to be that hard either. There will be pockets of conflict and tension
sure.
and sharpening, but a lot of times it's basically spending time with people that you enjoy spending time with.
Right. Your family members.
I think God...
You should be liking to be with each other.
Yeah, and I think God ties our hearts together through commonalities and through the gospel, and he builds these relationships because we like spending time together.
Sure.
So I would encourage young people out there, just spend some time around older individuals in the church.
Sure. I would encourage older people out there, spend time around the younger people of the church. They're the future.
Yeah.
They are the future.
And
for sure.
You'll find out there who you click with pretty quickly.
Right.
Who you have things in common with. I've heard it a lot. Older people will approach a younger person and say, I see a lot of myself in you. You know, but that that is their way of saying, as odd as it may be, it's their way of saying, we have commonality here.
There you go.
I see some connection that can be here. And those are the, those connections need to, we need to thrive on them and then center them around the gospel.
Right. So do you think churches are stronger if they are more diverse, may not be the right word, but where the intergenerational relationships are strong?
Without a doubt.
Would that make the church stronger?
Without a doubt.
And if that's not the case, it could go south on either end.
Without a doubt. Well, and I think even beyond just the health and strength of the church, it makes a great gospel witness. You know, we've been in public several times where people have thought we were father and son.
There you go.
And we tell them, no, we're friends. Don't put that on me. We tell them, no, we're really friends. What binds us together is the gospel.
Absolutely.
And we tell them about Jesus.
Right.
And that's a witness to the world around us that the gospel changes our hearts and gives us new delights and new perspectives. And it can even bind individuals
right.
from vastly different life styles and places and stages together in harmony and unity and intimacy.
Right.
I think these relationships make a church healthy. I think they make a church strong. I think they make a gospel witness pretty beautiful.
Right. And you're there to offer those nuggets of encouragement when a young man is trying to live a godly life and having trouble.
Yeah.
He's got someone who's had that same struggle and came through it.
Absolutely.
And be able to help mentor and give guidance.
Absolutely.
And then the older guy's got somebody that's throwing new ideas in his face and go, well, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a matter of being very flexible.
Yeah.
And like we said earlier, listening to what the other person's saying and really truly considering it.
So I guess, I don't know, in response to this listener-submitted statement question, I guess I would say there's a whole lot that could be said.
Right.
The Bible talks a lot about it.
It does.
And you should pursue it. You should chase after relationships with people who are much older than you and much younger than you.
There you go.
If you're able. But whatever spectrum you're on, pursue somebody that is of the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right.
And learn from them and grow with them and actually get into a relationship with them beyond just, hi, how you doing?
Right.
Prayed for you this week. Those are fine and good,
sure.
but learn from one another, invest in one another, care for one another, and you'll come to find very quickly that these types of relationships are not only good, but they provide something that's almost unexplainable.
Right. There's an element, and we are blessed to have it in our church. We live in a college town.
Yeah,
there's a small university here in Weatherford, and because of that, we have 25 or so college students that attend our church, and it's like putting a shot of adrenaline into the church body when you
right.
have that many young people that are eager to learn about God
right.
and seeking Him.
And that probably makes this subject a little bit more personal and passionate for us because we want to see those age gaps bridged.
Right.
We
right.
want our older people to reach out and care for, almost adopt
sure.
these college students, and we want these college students to do the same back to the older
yeah.
individuals.
We need to figure out how to do that, and I think we're doing some things that are good
yeah.
to help that happen, but I think we need to keep working on it.
Well, this is one thing we did, and this is just our context, but we removed age segregation in our Sunday school.
Correct.
Now, generally, people of the same age still run together. Birds
oh, yeah.
of the same feather flock together, that kind of a deal. But there are some who have been exposed to a more mature, different way of thinking
right.
because of that. There's a vast age difference between these two individuals, and they're sitting at the table together studying the Bible.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I still hear every once in a while, I'll talk to a young person, and I'll be describing an older person in the congregation, and they really don't know who I'm talking about.
Right.
So there's still a barrier, and we need to keep working on that and trying to encourage our generations to mingle with each other somehow.
Yeah. That connection is where we really see spiritual growth thriving and flourishing as God uses both people to sharpen and sanctify both people.
Right. And I would think it would be wrong for an older person to have the attitude of, look at all the wisdom I have to put upon you. Aren't you blessed?
Or the attitude of, I can't be taught. You know, I've learned everything.
That's true.
I know more. Yeah.
So we have to have open ears.
Absolutely. Everybody does.
And open hearts.
Well,
and
I
truly
would
be a good family.
Yeah. I would encourage our listeners to be thinking about somebody that they might know of, that they can reach out to and begin to develop a connection or relationship with. People of different generations, different ages, different life stages.
Or maybe different cultures even.
Absolutely.
Maybe someone of a different, you don't run around with the same people.
Yeah.
Just to reach out and broaden your family and just get to know your family better, because sometimes you may have a person in your family that's kind of quiet and off to themselves, and they don't really know very many people, although they long to, but they may be a little bit shy and not able to reach out.
Well, and I guarantee you, if you develop these kind of relationships, you will both learn so much from one another.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable and incredible how God has designed these kinds of relationships to really benefit the believer's spiritual walk.
Yeah, I guess you could, you know, as a practical tool, you could have a meal with them.
Yeah.
Go to lunch. Invite them for breakfast or invite them for a meal at your house.
Yeah, we ate breakfast together, you and I, for how many years?
Yeah, that was kind of a cool time. We had another guy that was mentoring us. He was older than both of us.
Yeah.
but he was a very godly man, and he was a very wise man, and he had a lot of interesting stories to tell, and he had a great way of telling them.
And even after he moved, we continued that on for a while, and now we have coffee, and you know, other people are younger people who are part of it.
About 6 months ago, we're sitting in the cafeteria at the university, and he walks in.
Oh, yeah, that was
amazing.
Wait, anyways.
Is that so-and-so?
Those are things you'll cherish forever, those kind of relationships.
Yeah, that person will always have a spot in my life that I'll never forget.
Absolutely. Well, as we said at the beginning, there are lots of questions that have been submitted to us via Facebook and Instagram, but we're always willing to take more. We always want more.
There you go.
So thank you to those of you who have submitted questions. And if you want to submit a question, please do. Maybe you've already submitted one and you have another question to add to the pile. Please add it. Our media manager, Madison, is keeping track of them all. She's got a bank of questions. We are doing what we're calling a lightning round right before Christmas to end the year.
That will be fun.
Where we give short, brief answers to a lot of questions really quickly. So contribute there. If you want to ask a lightning round question, just say, hey, I have a lightning round question. You can message us, comment on some of our statuses, whatever. We'll get the questions, and we'll do our best to answer them on the fly.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I think so.
I think most of my answers is, I really don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah, that'll probably be mine too. And then next year we'll pick right back up where we're at. We'll take listener-submitted questions for as long as we possibly can. And then when those dry up, if they ever do, we'll come up with our own topics. But we much would rather hear from you.
Absolutely.
So reach out to us at our website, trinityweatherford.net, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Like, follow, subscribe on iTunes, whatever it is that you're supposed to do on those specific platforms. Our social media handle is Pastor Talk Podcast. Find us there. Join the community. Join the conversation. Contribute to the conversation. What did you think about today? Do you have any intergenerational relationships in your life What's the good? What's the bad? What's the awesome?
Right. What's positive and what's negative about it?
Yeah. What did we leave out? Because we know there are some things we intentionally left out of this conversation today. Add them to the conversation. Maybe we said something that you want to take away. We don't care. Just contribute. We want to hear from you.
Yeah,
it thrills our hearts all the time. I've heard of, been reminded of a few testimonies from people who have listened where God worked in their hearts because of something we said, and he worked in ways that we would have never have
sure.
imagined.
Cool thing is that we didn't do that.
Absolutely.
God did that. God did the work.
We don't even know these people, some of the testimonies that come in. So we just praise God that he would
work. We just want him to
work
be
in the
glorified
world.
And him to do a work in lives.
Absolutely.
And use the insignificant ones to do it.
Yes.
He always uses the simple.
Yes.
That's you and me.
Yes. Speaking
Thanks for
of
agreeing
you
with
and me.
Me.
How about you pray and we'll wrap her up.
All right, I shall. Our Father, we are truly again amazed and always amazed because of your great love and your great mercy. We know and recognize, at least in part, that you are a magnificent, wonderful, powerful God that speaks and universes happen. And we are truly grateful that you love us and you provided for us that gift of salvation through your Son. And please be glorified in everything we do. May you be honored. May your kingdom grow. Help us in our intergenerational relationships. Help our churches to truly love each other as a family. And please be the head of our churches. May Christ always be the head and not us, because it's all about you and it's all about your kingdom. So we pray these things in our Lord's name, Jesus. Amen.